Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We're going to let you hear the breakdown. I mean, I think everybody on earth, or at least in America, has heard this or seen it. But we're going to play it for you so you get where we're coming from and get the context.
And he takes the snap with 14 seconds to go, and he got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it. Richardson chases him. Burris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogunjobi in the head.
Well, I think he'll have next weekend off.
Now, Freddie Kitchens is on the Browns sideline and telling the rest of his team to stay in the bench area. The Steelers only have about 10 guys left in their bench area. And security is out in the end zone, stringing the end zone, making sure the fans don't get out on the field.
All right, that was courtesy of Cleveland Browns radio. You may have figured that out, but they were focused on Ogunjobi. I can't even know how you say his name. Yeah,
and Pouncey.
Right. I mean, they weren't telling us anything about what was going on with Garrett and all that. But anyway, that was Browns radio. Rob, go ahead.
I just want the floor. I just want to say this to get started, Chris. People tune into our show. They want to hear what we have to say on this. If you're tuning in today, I want you to be warned. If you're hoping to hear what you want to hear, you're going to hear what Chris and I are straight shooters. We watch everything. We try to give you a fair point of view. And I'm just warning you.
No need to warn, because they might have different viewpoints.
You know what I mean?
We got people with different views out there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, going by some of the stuff I've seen on Twitter and stuff, I'm just shocked at people. I really am, because what I witnessed last night was just shocking to me. You want to kick it off?
Look.
You kick it off and
we're going to address this first. We're going to hit it from all different angles. But right now, it's did the NFL get it right? Myles Garrett is suspended indefinitely without pay. Marquise Pouncey suspended for 3 games without pay. Larry Ogun, how you say his name, Rob G? Ogun, yeah, he suspended for a game. He ran and pushed Mason Rudolph in the back. And Rudolph got fined, right? And that's it. I do think generally the league got it right. I think that Myles Garrett should have been suspended for the rest of the season, including the playoffs, if that, you know, if they were to get there. I don't think they will. But I also think that should be the suspension the rest of this season. I think he should, you know, assuming he has to meet with the league before he's reinstated, which I think is good. Assuming that goes well, I think he should be playing football next year. It was a heinous act. It was terrible. There's no excuse. But I think missing the rest of this season, in my view, is punishment enough. As far as the other guys, I think Pouncey. Look, I think Marquise Pouncey saw somebody hit his quarterback with a helmet and then just was like, yo, it's on now. All bets are off once you start swinging helmets at people. I thought I would have been fine with Pouncey getting 2. I'm not going to go ballistic because he got 3, but I would have been fine with 2. Rudolph, yeah, I think the fine is fine for him. There are those that are saying he started it. And that those that are on the side of Myles Garrett and saying this is ridiculous and he shouldn't be suspended for the rest of the year, they're saying Rudolph started it. I disagree. Now, Rudolph was the one who was, like, initially trying to get Myles Garrett's helmet off. But if you watch the highlight over and over and over again, you will see clearly that Garrett slammed Rudolph to the ground unnecessarily. The receiver had caught the ball and was running when Garrett slammed him to the ground. Now, he didn't land on him. He didn't slam him with all his might, but he still took him to the ground, and they were kind of wrestling there, and that's why Rudolph was like, yo, dude, like, what's up? And he started grabbing at his helmet, yes, and that's why I think he should get fined, but that does not justify Rudolph or Garrett hitting him with the helmet. And Garrett is lucky. He's blessed. He needs to, even though he's getting punished, he should be praying and thanking God that he did not hit Rudolph with the meat of the helmet. He caught Rudolph with the back of the helmet where there's padding, and it wasn't really a clean shot. So he's lucky, because if a helmet-to-helmet hit is dangerous. What in the world is a helmet-to-skull hit? So he's lucky he didn't hurt Mason Rudolph very seriously or worse. So that's my take on it.
The NFL, Chris, has gotten it wrong a lot of times. There's many times I scratch my head and I can't figure out what they're doing and how they dole out punishment. But in this case, bravo to the NFL. Bravo. Never. Can't be acceptable. I don't care who it is. They have to stop Myles Garrett. No. You have to let everybody who ever puts on an NFL uniform and helmet, Chris, that this will never, ever be tolerated. I don't care what the other stuff went on. You know what? Chris, we can have a fight, me and you. When I go to my trunk and get a weapon, a bat, that's when all bets are off. That's when it becomes criminal. I'm telling you, what he did with a helmet was a weapon. And Myles Garrett, he's not an angel. He's had three incidents already this year. You got to be able to put this guy to the side and let him think about what he's doing.
Rob, quickly, we have breaking news. Mason Rudolph has said he will not press charges. His lawyer, they were looking into everything, and they were free to do that, but Rudolph said he will not press
charges. He's a nice guy.
I agree with him.
He's a nice guy. Right. I would have went down and filed a police report because he's fortunate he's alive today. He really is. And you know what? You guys can just go like, well, he didn't get hurt. He's okay. It could have been fatal. I wanted all the people who are talking about Myles Garrett is getting railroaded and this is about white privilege, stop it. That was about the most ridiculous violence. It was violent. I've watched football all my life. I've covered it for 33 years. Never seen anything like that. He was fortunate to hit a guy with a helmet. That big guy, Myles Garrett, what he could have done if he caught him in the right spot. If he went down and died in front of our eyes on Thursday Night Football, I dare anybody to sit there and tell me about Mason Rudolph, he's the one to blame. You don't swing a helmet at a person the same way you don't swing a hockey stick at a person or hit a baseball player over the head with a bat in a fight. You got to be kidding me.
I'm glad, Rob, you brought up the white privilege because
I'm not buying that today.
There is certainly white privilege.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. And I could list a number of things where that is clear. This is not one of them.
Stop it.
And when you call this, they're saying white privilege is why Mason Rudolph didn't get suspended. That is ridiculous. And when you call something like this white privilege, you take away
you devalue
the power
it, right.
of the real arguments against white privilege. Because when there really is some white privilege and you point it out, people go to some ridiculous thing like this and say, you call everything white privilege.
I'm just not buying
Tom
it.
Tom Brady, we talked about it before the show, Rob, who is white, got four games for deflating football.
For flooding, and this guy got six games for hitting
somebody with a helmet. So stop it with the white privilege. And don't you, Rob and I do plenty in the community for black
right.
people.
I don't want to hear all that.
I mean,
you
want to
get on that bandwagon, you could do
that
it.
That is utterly ridiculous. That's the equivalent of saying black people don't have to be responsible for our actions.
Yes, we do.
Like, we're not free moral agents. We've been so beat down by racism that we can't even control ourselves and make rational decisions.
We know what's
Everything
right and
is
wrong.
Blamed on racism.
Right.
Stop it. There's racism and white supremacy, and we need to attack it where it is when it's real.
That was violence.
Foolishness?
That was violence. Violence that we know is wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. We got it. It was a fight. You can't bash somebody over the head with a helmet. Chris, you've been watching football. You saw that before? Have you seen it?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen that. And like I said, this isn't his first situation this year. He's had three. So you got to ask yourself, are you going to play football or not? If you're going to play by the rules, Chris, he deserves a chance to play in the NFL. If he's not going to play by the rules.
Are you fine with him coming back next year?
No, I'm not so sure. I think they need to talk to him.
Well, of course.
You know what I mean?
If he goes in there
and flush it all out, an idiot.
You know what I mean? But if he goes in there at the beginning, the beginning of the season, or, you know, training camp, whatever, and he released a statement.
Which I thought was, whether he wrote it or not, his name is on. I'm going to take it at face value.
Okay, yeah.
I like the statement.
I mean, he had no choice, of course.
He said it was unacceptable.
It was a good statement.
And I want to say this, too. Baker Mayfield gets beat up a lot. Give the guy credit.
Yeah, he said it was inexcusable. All the football players essentially said that. Now, if he goes, I want to ask you this before we break quickly. If Myles Garrett meets with the commissioner and whoever else he needs to meet with at the NFL before training camp, and, you know, is remorseful, just like his statement was good, he presents himself well, he's remorseful and so on and so forth, would you have a problem with him starting next season? Game one. I would not.
Yeah, I'm still torn. I think that because when you put – it's already a dangerous game, and when you cross that line, I just want to know where your head is, seriously. Are you cool enough to play football? It's a violent game. I get it, Chris. You know it. You just said it. If helmet to helmet is a problem, how could helmet to skull not be worse? Where are all you people? Helmet to helmet is bad. And you're going to excuse a helmet to skull and act like, oh, Mason Rudolph started it. Helmet to skull. If his head was bashed in and blood was gushing and he went unconscious last night, you would still be telling me that? Come on, man. I ain't buying it today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Former NFL coach Hugh Jackson. Hugh, how you doing?
Welcome to The Odd Couple. Good, buddy. How you doing? Sorry for being a little late, guys.
That's all good. Okay. We're just glad to get you, Hugh.
Yes, definitely.
Especially.
Well, let's start with Myles Garrett, and then we'll get into the Kaepernick workout that's tomorrow. You, Hugh, you know this game as well as anybody. You've been around the league
for
so many
years.
Have you ever seen, because maybe in practice, you know, this happens occasionally. I mean,
I've never
seen a guy hit another player with a helmet? Or I don't know.
You didn't just say practice. No, I've never seen that in practice. I've never seen that in the game. That was totally inexcusable, not this young man's character. I don't know where that came from. I'm shocked by it, and I think he is too.
And Hugh, going forward, I think the NFL, they've made a lot of mistakes in punishing people. They're all over the map. But this one, I think they got it right. Indefinite suspension. He's had a couple other incidents this year. You got to find out where this guy's head is before you put him back on a football field. Am I correct?
No doubt. I mean, obviously something really set him off. And like I said, it's not like him to respond that way. You never know what's going on in any young man's life. Not saying that there is anything going on, but I think you have to do your due diligence and check and make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted before you do put him back out there.
Hugh, there are a lot of people saying that Mason Rudolph started it. And because he was grabbing at Garrett's helmet when they were on the ground, do you put any stock into that, or does that?
No.
Yeah.
There's so many things that go on the bottom of those piles that, you know, we will never know it all. You know, we just happen to see a young man after being taken down, trying to find his way to get back up. He grabs the helmet, you know, probably in frustration. But at the end of the day, he still didn't take Miles' helmet off. You know, so You know, it just escalated so fast and so quickly to something that we all wish never happened.
Tell us what Miles is like. You said this is out of character.
Could you coach
him?
But
he's had a couple of bad hits early in the season. This would be the third incident. So people that don't know him are looking at him now clearly as a dirty player. You tell us what he's like as a player and as a person.
No, he's an unbelievable person. You know, obviously. That's the reason why we drafted him there, not just because he was a really good football player, but he fit the characteristics of what we wanted in, you know, on our team. The guy is a team captain and a team leader. And so somewhere, you know, again, as I said, you know, the wires got a little crossed somewhere. I don't know where that is because I'm not there to speak on that. But at the same time, the Myles Garrett that I saw last night, you know, involved in that incident is not the young man that I know. And not the young man that we drafted, you know. And I think he's very remorseful about what happened. You know, again, I'm not there I'm not trying to stand up for anything he did because it was wrong. But at the same time, I hope people really get to know who he is because he comes from a class family. He's a class person, and he's always been hardworking and really given to others. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
What's your gut? Just the end of the season, or is there a chance? I mean, there are some people saying it should be a full year that should run into next season for, you know, another 6 or 8 games, and he should be out of the game and think about what he's done and be, you know, where are you? Do you think that he'll probably be back for training camp and ready to play next season, or is there a chance the NFL will really come down hard on him?
Rob, I hope he is, but what happened last night, I don't think has happened in the National Football League.
I don't remember it.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So I think, you know, the National Football League will take a deep dive into this, and they really want to make a statement. I think they have to. I mean, this cannot happen ever again in this sport, you know, because it's uncalled for. So I do get it. I hope that's not the case for the young man because, as I said, I think he's very remorseful. I think he understands that he went too far, and I'm sure he wish he had a do-over. And I hope this doesn't, just tarnish his career. You know, obviously he's going to have that spot that you can't get rid of, but I think there's more to this young man than just what happened last night.
You know, real quick, just for historical purposes for the young guys out there, Juan Marichal hit Johnny Roseboro over the head with a baseball bat in a fight, during a fight. It was the first time that ever happened in baseball and the last time. You know what I mean?
Punishment.
And he got, at that time, believe it or not, he got like 3 games.
Oh.
He got 3 games. But
he should have been gone.
But this is the 50s. You know what I'm saying?
When men were men.
Yeah, it was totally different. But I'm just saying, it never happened again after that. That's how ugly it was.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And maybe, Hugh, the same thing will be here, that all football players and people will remember this and be like, you can never let go and go that crazy no matter what the situation.
Absolutely. I mean, it's uncalled for. It can't happen, and it shouldn't happen. But at the same time, now it has. So how are we all going to handle it and, you know, do the right thing as far as punishment, do the right thing as far as education, and making sure that our players never get, in those situations again.
All right, we are joined by Hugh Jackson, the former Cleveland Browns and Oakland Raiders head coach. Hugh also will be leading the workout tomorrow with Colin Kaepernick, along with Joe Philbin. All right, Hugh, a lot of people have felt like this workout is something that's a PR stunt or a sham for the NFL, just so later they can say, hey, we gave Colin a chance and nobody was interested. What do you say to the people out there who have that opinion?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it's their opinion, so they're entitled to it. But I do think this is a legitimate opportunity for Colin to go show that he still possesses the characteristics and skill level that made him one of the better players in the league at one time. You know, can he still throw the football like he could? Does he still have the athleticism that he's shown? And does he still have that desire and determination to be still one of the best players in this league?
Hugh, the reason I really like this, and I never bought into it that it's a sham or a PR situation, is number one, the NFL didn't have to revisit this. This has been 3 years ago. He hasn't played. right? You move forward, and you know once you do this, his name is back in the headlines and all the other stuff, and it could just really blow up. And the other part to me is that teams were inquiring about him, right? So by the NFL sanctioning this workout, it tells owners and GMs that he's not toxic. He's not persona non grata. And if they're interested in him, that they could pursue him. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with it because you said it. I mean, why bring up, you know, open an old sore that you don't have to open up anymore?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, they're doing this for a reason, you know, to give him that opportunity because I think they still believe that there's something there. I mean, if you look around the National Football League right now, quarterback play is still an issue. You know, there's a group of guys that are really good. There's the next tier and the next tier, and then there's some guys that don't play as well, you know. And he at one time was one of the better players in this league, and I know it's been 3 years and you don't get to replace that, but he's healthy, he's willing. And if he still has a talent level, then he has a chance to help a team right now, if that's the case.
Hugh, what type of drills will you put him through? What are teams looking to see? And what would constitute a good workout for Kaepernick tomorrow?
I think what teams are looking to see is that it's a, you know, that it's a well-organized, efficient workout that allows him to showcase his arm talent, his athletic ability, to be able to see him make decisions, you know, on the field and show his leadership ability. You know, my goal is to create an environment for him to go out and be the best version of Colin, you know, and give him a chance to showcase that talent and ability that we've all seen. And this is a big day for him tomorrow. It's a big day for everyone involved. So I'm sure he'll go do that.
We've seen Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, now Russell Wilson as well. You know, guys, Kyler Murray, you know, the type of quarterbacks that can run that are a little bit more like Kaepernick. Do you think the success of those guys opens things up even more for Colin where, you know, teams may be willing to take a look at him or think, you know, he's a guy that we can work with now that the league is kind of going this way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you talk about the top quarterbacks in the league, with the exception of Tom Brady. You know, you're talking about Russell Wilson, you're talking about Lamar Jackson. You know, these guys have done some really good things, you know. And I think the league is kind of changing somewhat. I'm not saying that there's not still the place for the pocket passer, but the guys who can move in the National Football League have a chance to ascend and have their teams have a chance to win more games because of their skill set.
Hugh, this is just my gut. I believe there'll be an opportunity and he'll get back in the league, whether it's, you know, joining a team to, you know, not to really play this year, but to, you know, learn their system or whatever they're doing and be ready for training camp next year. I honestly believe that. What do you think? What are your chances you think that Colin will have a chance to get back in the league at some point this year or at training camp?
I do. I truly do. And I think he deserves that opportunity. And again, do we want to stamp and make sure that the skill is still there and that the desire and determination and all the athleticism, all those things are there? Yes. And we get a look at that tomorrow. And then I think there'll still be, you know, everybody will keep diving in to find out even more about him. But I think the end result is just what you said. He will be playing football again in the National Football League.
Hugh, how big is the interview? And, the you know, whether or not Colin will stand or kneel for the anthem, how big of a factor is that for a lot of teams as well?
I think it's a factor, you know, but I think tomorrow, and I could be wrong because that side of it, as far as the interview is concerned, I don't know how that's going to happen with all the teams that are there. I mean, is he just going to go into a room and people are going to get to ask questions, you know, one after another? Or will this be something as he moves through this process that he will go into the individual teams and they have a chance to discuss those things with him? I think tomorrow, in my opinion, is really about finding out about where is he from an athleticism standpoint, and does he still have the arm talent, and does he still look like he has what it takes to play in this league at a high level?
Hey, Hugh, thank you so much. I mean, what insight to both big topics. And you're in the middle of one with the Kaepernick, and really, we really appreciate you joining us And, you know, just giving us some insight to everything going on. This is huge.
Thank you,
Rob.
It's always a pleasure. And, Chris, thank you guys so much for the opportunity.
Thanks, you. We appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely.
See you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's get back to the Myles Garrett story. Let's go at it from a different angle, okay? Freddie Kitchens. There are those who think he should not escape this unscathed. And one of them is a former coach on his staff, Todd Haley, who was calling their plays before Kitchens took over. Here's Todd Haley on Freddie Kitchens.
Inexcusable and embarrassing. Just total lack of self-control. You know, the Browns won the game, but it's kind of been what's been biting them in the backside throughout this year and throughout the last few years is just lack of self-control and discipline. This, to me, this comes back to coaching. This falls squarely right on the head coach because the head coach talks to every assistant coach who then talk to their groups of players. And there's an old saying in coaching, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And when you allow stuff like this to go on, and I'm not saying this particular taking somebody's helmet off and hitting them with it is going on, but I've been on those fields in Cleveland, and part of the frustration is you see things happening and going on that you shouldn't be allowed to be going on.
Rob G, I'm going to ask you this first because you follow things like this. How much of that, I believe him, and I'm generally, for the most part, I'm with Haley, but how much of that is sour grapes? Because as we said, he was with that coaching staff with Freddie Kitchens.
It's funny you bring that up, Chris, because me and the big A, Alex Teicher, were just talking during that sound clip, and I told him, does it sound like Todd Haley has an axe to grind with Todd Kitchens? And he said, oh, yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
it
but what he's saying though, most people would shy away from it because he does have, he got let go, right?
Right.
Okay, so I get that.
And Kitchens is now calling the.
But some of the stuff he's talking about is definitely true about either you're allowing it or you're coaching it. You know, it's one or the other, and this is not the first time. If you know what, I could take this better, Chris. Then if he was after game one when they had 16 penalties, if he was chiming in on game one.
No, I think he's – I don't think this takes away from the truth of what he's saying.
Okay.
But it does – a little bit it does, just because you know it's sour grapes. However, here's the deal. Freddie Kitchens does not have control of this ball club, period. Period. Because could you imagine a New England Patriot doing that?
No, I couldn't.
I don't even know if I could imagine an Oakland Raider doing that under John Gruden. Now, Antonio Brown, obviously, he did whatever he wanted to do, but he's not on the team anymore. But I just think if you've got general respect for your coach, if there's a culture of
discipline. And the organization,
right. Let's put it that way. If there's a culture of discipline within your organization, players aren't going to do that type of thing.
No. Nah.
And it's all – here's the problem. And I'm a guy that picked the Browns to make the playoffs. I'm a guy that was pulling for them to win last night. And I'm a guy that thought they might be able to make a run. But they can't get out of their own way. If it's not the shoes – then it's a watch.
Something.
If it's not the watch, then it's a visor. If it's not the visor, then it's your quarterback saying something crazy. If it's not the quarterback saying something crazy, it's you taking off a helmet and hitting somebody with it. Just when they had the momentum, you're feeling good. You've won two straight.
You're back
in it. You
beat
a division rival, a good team that was playing good ball in Pittsburgh. And you got a weak schedule coming up. All of that is now thrown out the window with 8 seconds left in the game. And for all of you out there who have said Mason Rudolph started it, no, he did not. Myles Garrett started it when he tackled him, took him to the ground.
Yes.
When the receiver had caught the ball, was running with it.
Go to the videotape and watch it. Watch the whole thing and stop with, he kicked him in the groin, blah, blah, blah. He's the one. If somebody kicked you in the groin, I would do it too. Also, I just want to give you these Browns numbers. They, of course, lead the league in penalties, right, Chris, this season. 87 for a total of 822 yards. So they average 8 penalties and 80 yards a game. That's coaching.
Yeah.
Hello? Is this on? That's coaching.
It's lack of respect. And I've seen it happen before in the NBA, and I'm sure it can happen in the NFL. When the assistant coach that was everybody's friend comes in and they like him, and you had a coach maybe you weren't that fond of who was there before, he gets fired, now the assistant's coaching, the pressure's off, the season's over, you're not making the playoffs, and you play well under him. And then you make him the real full-time head coach, take the interim label off, and it goes south in a hurry.
Happens all the time.
Because there's no respect. This team, look, and this is why I say, like, some people say they should trade OBJ. No. You don't need to make a major move like that until you get a coach in there who you know will bring a different culture and a coach who you know can maximize your offensive talent. Why in the world would I get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. when I've yet to see a coach who I know can work with a great quarterback or good quarterback and great receiver? Why would I get rid of him before giving him the best chance to succeed and work together?
And here's the other thing you're talking about. You mentioned culture. If you go to, I think he took it down now, but Mac Wilson, at 5 Mac Wilson 1, you remember what he tweeted, which Juju Schuster-Smith laid out him standing over them, and this is what he tweeted, and he was like 1-0 onto the onto, he has a picture of the Dolphins or whatever. But look at that. That's your culture, Chris. Here's your culture.
And what I think happened, and there were some, I think this is going too far to say Freddie Kitchens told them to go out there and play dirty and
all
that.
No, I didn't say that.
But I just think he, all week long, it was probably all about physical play, all about making them feel you, all about, you know, intimidation and really bringing it to the Steelers. And that's good. And I think some guys took it too far. You mentioned Mac Wilson and his picture. That hit where Juju Smith-Schuster was concussed, it was helmet to helmet. I think it was 2 Browns that hit him helmet to helmet. But it looked like a bang-bang play. Like, I didn't think that was purposeful.
No, I'm just saying, but to put that out
right
there, you know what I
but
mean?
Like, yeah, to put with Schuster laying on the ground and Wilson walking by him, standing over him, that's ridiculous. And then Demarius Randle did drill a receiver helmet to helmet. He got ejected from the game. And that was all before what Myles Garrett did. And that's why some people think that Kitchens may have had, you know, told the guys to go out there and be chippy and play dirty and all that. I don't think that, but I still just don't think he has enough control over that roster. I'm sorry.
And ESPN reported that players actually celebrated Myles Garrett when he did what he did. Like, that was the initial reaction on the sidelines.
I'm wondering if they saw everything, because, you know, they're probably watching the play and maybe they just see him fighting. I don't know if
I hope
did
they
see him
I hope
swing
they didn't
a helmet
see,
like that.
I hope they didn't see him connect a helmet to a noggin. I mean, that was as scary as it gets. And we, you know what? We had Hugh Jackson on. He'd been a head coach in the league. He's been around for 35 years, whatever, Chris. He said, remember we asked him, you ever see it in practice? He laughed. Right. No.
Never.
No. You don't do that. That's not even in the heat of the moment in practice. Where's Allen Iverson? Practice? No. it didn't happen in practice.
We're talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
We're talking about practice.
He said he never saw it. He's been around the game forever, Chris. You said you've been watching football since you were a kid. You ever see that?
No.
I never saw it. I don't think anybody in NFL America, how many times does that happen?
And we said it earlier, Rob. Helmet to helmet is bad.
I think that's spot on, Chris.
What in the world is helmet to skull? And again, even though he's cost himself who knows how much money, even though he's out for the rest of the season and maybe more, Myles Garrett should be thanking God right now that he did not connect on the meat of the helmet.
And do something worse.
Because he hit him on the back where the padding is. You know, he didn't catch him good. And if he had caught him good, I mean, we might be talking, this conversation might be a lot more serious than it already is.